Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
All right, more on that coming up, but let's welcome in the dangerous one, Darryl Ryder, brought to you by Chapman Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Darryl, we got a fun one for you at the end, but right now, could the Browns, after what's transpired over the weekend, he had surgery. I know that some of this is speculation. Could the Browns get out of Deshaun Watson's contract by this offseason?
I think that the path of least resistance will be to collect the insurance money. Because you have to prove it. You could end up in a grievance process with the NFLPA. So, I mean, could they? Maybe, but I don't know how they prove it.
Boy, Darryl, you think about it this way. In that conclusion, if that's how this results, that means Deshaun Watson gets his money. That means the Haslams are taken care of. They're able to recoup a bunch of the money. I don't think the fans feel good about that scenario at all. I feel like the Browns fans are the ones on the outside looking in there.
He's not going to play again for the Browns. So for me, that's a win for the fans.
Okay, Darryl Ryder, we are rocking and rolling on a Monday morning with the dangerous one here. He's brought to you by Chapman Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. All right, Darryl, so has anything this weekend changed what your plans are for the Browns at the number two overall spot?
No.
Okay, what are you going to do?
Trade down, but stay in the top 10. Get an extra pick for next year so that you have the ability to move up if you you need to.
Now, why do you want to do that?
Because I just don't trust Andrew Berry to pick a quarterback.
So, do you trust yourself to pick a quarterback?
Trust me, no. If so I trusted just me, I'd have Andrew Berry's job.
We're just afraid of quarterbacks in general,
well,
are we?
Is that it? I'm not. I just.
Well, if you're not afraid of quarterbacks, then why don't you just take one at number two, bud?
Because I'm not crazy about this class, and neither are a lot of the experts that, do the draft scouting and whatnot.
Well, so, when are we going to be in this position again?
Probably next season.
We'll be this bad next year.
Probably.
We'll be this bad.
Yeah, you don't have a quarterback, Ken.
But
what makes you think that they're going to be better
next
year?
But the answer to make this better is to not take a quarterback.
Well, you never take a player because you have to take a player. There's no question they need a quarterback. I'm not arguing that. I just don't know that there's a quarterback worthy of the number two pick in the draft.
So you're telling me this is a lame duck season on January 13th?
I think so.
All right! Super Bowl! Super Browns! Yeah! Lame duck season, here we go. Darryl, damn it. Come on, you got to figure out a way. I'm dead serious. You can't just sit there. I can't just sit there and bitch and moan and say that everything sucks. I could, but I'm not going to want to. So how about this, Tone? Or how about this? I'm sorry, I'm used to yelling at Darryl. Tone, Darryl. Darryl.
I'm just being realistic.
They got to get this thing going as soon as they can. I got Myles Garrett, who didn't get any younger, the whole thing. Make this thing better right now, Darryl. Make it better right now. What are you going to do?
They're going to try, but I
want to know you. I want to know you, Darryl. What are you going to do? You do it. Tell me what you would do.
I would I would trade down, but stay in the top 10. That's very important. That's kind of why I'm got my fingers crossed that the Deion Sanders interest to Las Vegas is real, so that he would trade with the Browns to get the number two pick to draft his own kid. I would love that. That would be a dream come true for me. But, you know, offensive lineman, defensive lineman with that pick, draft a running back. You know, you're going to take a flyer on one of these veteran quarterbacks, but you're in the same boat you've been in, essentially, and you're just crossing your fingers, hoping that the flyer pans out. And look, I mean, if it does pan out, yeah, the Browns could potentially turn it around. But I think this past season showed us it's they're more than just a quarterback away. And, you know, it's not a situation where they're not spending money. It's, you know, they, you know, swung for the fences at that position and it blew up in their face spectacularly. But, you know, I just feel like that considering what it looked like on paper and then considering what it looked like on the field, it's very difficult for me to just be like, oh, yeah, Andrew Berry and Kevin Stefanski have this thing turned around this offseason. No problem. It was awful this past season. It was the worst season since this team came back, considering the expectations, considering the investment in the roster, considering the talent on the roster. That was a disaster. And I just don't have a lot of confidence that they're going to clean all that mess up in one offseason.
Well, Darryl,
I think it's going to take at least 2 years.
Well, I'll tell you this, Darryl. Well, then that throws me off because you can fire guys and then all of a sudden we're going to try to reinvent the wheel here, but we've done that a million times.
I think everyone gets fired next January. I think that's what happens.
You think they wait until January?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I think that, you know, they will get they got the mulligan. They get to keep their jobs another year. My biggest concern is that there will be moves made this offseason with that thought in mind, and so desperate moves will be made. And they made a desperate move, and it's why they're in the spot that they're in. And that's just extremely concerning for me.
Darryl Ryder brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers.
Darryl, your reaction with Tampa Bay Buccaneers and Baker Mayfield getting eliminated, the lone home team to exit the playoffs so far?
Well, outstanding clock management there at the end by the Buccaneers. I kind of feel like that NFL coaches need to take a clock management class. You know, Baker made a couple of critical mistakes there in that second half. You know, fumbled handoff right up there up top. But I do think I was seeing some things you were posting last night, Anthony, and I will admit that I do feel like that I agree with you. There's a ceiling there.
Whoa!
There's no question about it. There is a ceiling there. But I would rather be in the Buccaneers position than to be in the Browns position. I'll say that. But yeah, I mean, this time of year, every mistake bites you in the backside. That's just the reality of it. And unfortunately, again, Baker made a couple of big ones there in the second half, and you got a head coach down there that don't know how to manage the final 2 minutes of clock management. And so you combine all that, and that's why you're going home.
Darryl, how on earth could you say? I mean, what, this justifies the trade for Deshaun Watson?
No, I'm not justifying the trade. I'm just saying.
Well, that's what Lima's doing.
I think that, again, I mean, we're revisiting the same conversation we've had for the last 3.5 years.
Hell yeah.
I get why the Browns made the trade, but I was against the trade when it happened, more so for non-football reasons than football reasons. It didn't work out. It happens in sports. That's not the guy I would have given $230 million to. That's not the guy that I would have entrusted my franchise to. But yet that's what the Browns did. I see the posts online from fans saying that the Browns are getting karma. They deserve every bit of what they're getting. I don't necessarily feel that way because you do have to take chances in sports. And when you do take chances in sports, there's no guarantees that they work out for you. That's what makes sports great. And that's also what makes sports frustrating at times. Not everything works out the way you planned it. They swung for the fences. They missed big. And now they are paying for that. But they made the evaluation that Baker was not worth whatever it was, 180, 200, whatever the number would have been to extend him. The Browns made the determination that in their mind, he would not play at a level worthy of that particular contract, which is pretty much ironic because the guy they gave him more money to not only hasn't been available,
and
but
I
he
hate
hasn't
this.
Played worthy.
I hate this. It can't be all or nothing. These guys, I mean, you can't just create these guys. There's a reason why there's only three of them, because they're elite. They're of elite level. And I yelled at Anthony about this in the opening. So I didn't even yell. I didn't lose my mind about it. But this is what I hate about it. It can't just be all or nothing. Like, I have to have somebody there who's willing to work with a guy to make him better. Because that's what they did in Tampa Bay. And damn it, that's what they're doing in Detroit right now. And they're going to sell that place out. It's going to be loud coming up over this weekend on a guy that we all thought was just a way to take back, to get rid of Matt Stafford and to get something back as they were going to start their rebuild. And here they go with this guy. So why can't I put it to my football team to take a guy like Shedeur Sanders or take a guy like Cam Ward and coach him up, damn it, if we're that good with quarterbacks? How about we be good with quarterbacks? Because if we're just saying we're afraid of quarterbacks, no. Because I'll be the first one to say it. The same type of quarterback seems to do well in Kevin Stefanski's system. Then, buddy, you got to get with the times, because there's going to be a hell of a lot more Shedeur Sanderses and Cam Wards for our future than there ever will be Joe Flacco's.
I don't disagree with you, but the next
you're
quarterback
damn right you don't.
No, I mean, the next quarterback the Cleveland Browns develop would be the first. They haven't done it for 26 years, Ken. Doesn't matter who the coach is, don't matter who the GM is, doesn't matter who the quarterback is. Yeah, you get a little sprinkle of hope. We saw that with Baker, you know, started 53 straight games. At least he was available to play. Mm. You know, got a little 5-week glimpse with Joe Flacco, but like the reality is, it doesn't matter who it is. They can't get it together. That's why I have no faith and trust in them to get it together. I mean, these guys have been here for 5 years. Now, granted, Kevin's had 11 different ones. He's had 11 different shots at making something out of one of these guys, and it hasn't happened.
I'm going to save my breath, and I'm going to save my voice, because I'm not going to give away now yelling what I'm going to be yelling later is what you're telling me. I'm not going to get worked up, because I don't want it to fall on deaf ears later on when I'm losing my mind over the exact same sentence I just said to you.
But you understand where I'm coming from.
I understand where you're coming from there. I understand that you and a lot of other people feel the same way. You guys you're telling me you're afraid to draft quarterbacks because of the organization over the last 20-something years, which, by the way, would be totally justified, but I can't just keep avoiding quarterbacks and then expect the results to get any better. They couldn't go anywhere because they had terrible quarterback play. They had no identity on offense. The coaching wasn't that great, by the way. Well, let's call that what it is. I know that. But, I mean, my God, you can't start and finish without a quarterback there. So if we're just going to sit there and spin our wheels about this, great. We'll bring in some guy off the cluster. We'll take Jackson Dart because he's got an upside and we're afraid of taking a risk on a quarterback there. And hopefully Jackson Dart, which he probably won't because you just told me that the coaching situation ain't that good at developing quarterbacks. We'll put Jackson Dart out there halfway through the year. He'll suck up the room and we'll go through all this rigmarole all over again. Great. Outstanding. Really an outstanding plan by everybody involved. I look forward to what's coming from what you're telling me here.
Yeah, I just don't have any faith in the organization right now. I really don't. They violated my trust. Okay, I don't have a lot of faith in this regime right now. I think Kevin Stefanski's a smart coach. I think Andrew Berry is a smart man, but you know what? The smart people aren't getting it done. And this was supposed to be the window of contention. We were supposed to have, you know, 5-6 straight years of compete for the playoffs every year. Look at the Pittsburgh Steelers, right? They're good enough every year to make the playoffs, but they can't go anywhere. And a big reason why is they haven't been able to find a quarterback themselves since Ben Roethlisberger. But to your point, Ken, what they have been able to do is they've been able to make work, at least in the regular season, whatever hand that they're dealt. And I guess that's my frustration, that's my disappointment, that's my lack of trust in this organization. Is they aren't making stuff work. They made stuff work in 2023, but outside of that, not much has worked. And so, you know, yeah, it would be great if one of these young quarterbacks coming out this year was worthy of the number two pick, and then the Browns could draft them and develop them and turn them into a player. That would be the, that is, I believe, your dream. I think that's everybody's dream. But I'm trying to live in reality here. I don't know that any of these kids are worthy of the number two pick, and I certainly don't trust the Browns to develop the player. So I am fine with getting me a guy that I know can step in and contribute at a position that they need some help, and then taking a flyer on the guy a little later in the draft, and maybe you get some lightning in the bottle. You dumpster dive for a couple of veterans. Again,
ooh, dumpster diving.
Cross them fingers. Hey, they've been dumpster diving for quarterbacks since 1999.
Dumpster diving.
Shall I go through all the guys?
I look forward to this. This is fantastic. Hey, Darryl, what's the most money you ever spent on a sporting event? Real quick, go. Go.
Most money on a sporting event?
Yeah.
About $280 a couple of years ago at a Guardians game. I got some good seats to take my sister and her family to a game when they were in town.
You spent more money than two-thirds of the guys who have spent money on tickets in this show. We never actually asked Mitch. I bet he didn't spend $280.
Well, you know, I found out they are very hungry at the ballparks. Tickets plus concessions, yeah, it adds up quickly.
Right. Darryl, thank you for the time.
You bet, guys.
Darryl Ryder brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Guys, if you're just afraid to draft a quarterback, just tell me you're afraid. Just be. Let's all be honest with ourselves. If we're going to be afraid, just admit you're afraid. It's 2025. Men are supposed to admit they're afraid. If you're afraid, just admit that you're afraid. You know what? If you're afraid, just tell me you're afraid. It's 2025. Men are supposed to admit they're scared now, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Admit you're afraid. 216-474-0092.
But you won't cry in front of your kids.
No, I'll cry in front of them eventually. I just can't cry in front of them because they're small. I got reasons for that. I just don't want that. I think if I cried in front of them, I think that would actually scare them about their situation. I don't want them to be afraid of anything yet. So someday, obviously, I'll have to let it out in front of them.
Well, they should probably be afraid about where the organization's at right now.
Which is crazy because I've cried on the air twice that I can remember. Like on air, not like weeping sorrow, but like choked up, can't speak, cried on the air two times. Which, oddly enough, both involved Jim Donovan. Which is weird. But I won't do it in front of my kids. Anyway, admit if you're afraid. Just tell me. Tell me the ghost of Phil Savage or the goblin of George Kokinas or anything has scared you from taking a quarterback. Is that what it is? If you're afraid, just tell.
I think it's the notion.
It'll feel better.
The notion, I keep hearing people say this, that if you screw up a quarterback at the top of a draft, it sets your franchise back 5 years. I hear that all the time.
I have this chance to make this team. You don't have to do that anymore.
I don't think you do.
I'm sorry, I wasn't looking at you. Were you going to finish that?
No.
Okay. All right. Because I can't. I don't want to. If you're going to make a change, now's the time to make a change. If you're in Berea, if you're going to make a change, now's the time to do it with that. Because you did this once with Hugh. You did it with Hugh. You kept him. And then what happened? You let go of him halfway through the year. All right? And then that, to me, started the whole thing with Baker Mayfield. That whole thing started this to where it's gone now. If you hold on to him again and you don't take a quarterback, I think some people go, great, because they don't trust the general manager. They don't trust whatever Paul DiPodesta does, and they don't trust the head coach. So they don't trust those guys. Darryl clearly doesn't trust them. So what, I'm not supposed to take a quarterback at all just because of that? Because I don't trust the guys making the pick? They made the mess, not me. If they can't do their due diligence, if they can't do their scouting, if they can't coach up that player, what the hell are we all doing here? What is this? This is unserious. You got to do it. When are we ever going to be in this chance again? I mean, literally, I'm flabbergasted. You could hear it. I'm gobsmacked. When are we ever going to be in this spot again? And you could tell me, well, we'll be in this spot again next year. All right, then we'll probably talk ourselves into that. Which, by the way, if you're taking a quarterback, then you want to take another quarterback. We're spending all this time trying to tell ourselves that Shedeur Sanders and Deion Sanders don't want to be here. You think Arch Manning's going to want to just sign up for something like this? Well, he's from Tennessee. His family's from Tennessee. That doesn't matter. I don't think that's going to matter a damn bit to the Manning family. It's never going to be a perfect situation. Do we not understand it? It's never going to be perfect.
I bring that up consistently.
Then I'm with you. Then just take a QB and be done with it. And if he works out, great. Then the diamonds will fall from the ceilings. Or if it doesn't work out, great. We get more of the same. Because they do not have time to not take a QB or to do the other part, which is like, hey, man, I got nothing against Jackson Dart. But if you're talking about a guy who has high upside, great. If you want to bring him in towards the end of the season, fine. But you're going to bring him in towards the end of a season that's already lost. That means that guys are going to get fired. That means general managers are on their way out the door. That means you're probably not going to hold on to that guy very much longer anyway. Because I just saw him trying to throw touchdowns on every single pass last year. No one wants to pay attention to that. But no one is also telling me that he should start, the Browns should take him and start him week one.
No.
Okay, so there has to be a little bit of give and take. I can't just say the kid sucks and that's it. I'm not going to say he sucks and I don't like saying that. I just can't say that the kid is a waste of time and we don't take him. But damn it, you got the number two overall pick. You have this opportunity. Most of us are just afraid to take a quarterback, so that's why, well, if it were me, I want to trade back. Do you really? Do you really want to trade back? Have we not learned over the course of 20-something years, 25 years, yeah, it's built from the inside out, but you ain't getting anywhere without a QB. It just ain't happening. And damn it, I will go where the Pittsburgh Steelers are. I will gladly, I'm telling you right now, on my life, on everybody's life in here, guys, I pray that we get to have an argument of whether or not, like, say they take Shedeur Sanders. I hope to God we find ourselves in a position, at the bare minimum, where we could argue about whether or not to pay him a lot of money. I would love to have those conversations again. Well, is he worth $300 million? I don't know if he's worth $300 million. Is he worth $250? I don't know if he's worth $250. We could have just kicked the can down the road. We could have done all that. But instead, emotions got the best of us because the quarterback tried to tackle somebody on an interception return, and then he broke his shoulder, and the rest is history. I don't want to do this all over again. I don't want to go into next year. I mean, did you hear Daryl at the beginning of the interview? How nonplussed was he? Well, do we want to do this? I got a great basketball team. I got a great baseball team. Yeah, I know their owners frustrate people. Yeah, I understand that just because of the willingness to spend. I think it's a sports problem, but whatever. And then I got this football team that just is going, it goes out there and it goes plop. That's what it is. It's just, it exists. And it's the porridge of the Cleveland sports. It's a thin stew that we chomp on or we try to digest in between the other two seasons. I can't stand for that anymore. The players are too damn good. Your passion is too damn strong. I can't do it. They got to take the quarterback. Just take him. Figure which one you like and take him. If that means you got to trade up for the number one, fine. Don't care.
I mean,
do it.
I think you
can't do this.
I think you have to be open-minded. I am surprised.
I need some passion.
How
I can't do it.
Without any, like, no fans have done the real work, and you're not going to a pro day, and you're not going to the combine. You know, the Browns are going to do all that stuff. And you do wonder, because guys start to, especially quarterbacks, always end up, you know, ascending to the top of the draft, and there's inflation. I wonder if fans think of this in the way they thought about the 2017 draft, the Miles draft. You know, Mitch Trubisky goes number two. Now Mahomes and Watson go in that exact same draft.
No, because I had a lot of – I think people had some confidence and some faith that of the people drafting. Sashi Brown, right,
mm-hmm.
That year. I think there was still some faith then. I mean, it was the first year since 2016. It kind of went out the door after the 17 season, but it was the first one since 16. I think they had a little bit of faith.
In that draft, Myles Garrett by far had the top grade.
Yeah.
Even though we know defensive ends are great to have, you need them on, you know, championship teams. But if you're on a team without a quarterback, as we saw, as what was their record the year after they had Myles Garrett? 1-15, right?
No, they were 0-16.
Oh, they were 0-16.
They took Miles and they lost every game.
Jesus, think about that.
Yeah, because they didn't have a quarterback.
Right, so...
Because we traded to get a second-round pick out of
Miles,
Brock Osweiler.
Miles might be the defensive player of the year this year. Again, was their record, 3 wins.
Mm.
You know you need a quarterback. It has to be that way. But I think
so
people
let's just
are...
stop being afraid and
I
take
think
him.
People are confused. Like, all the Abdul Carter stuff or whatever. Guys, Abdul Carter may be a really good pro. Has some really good things on tape. Also has some weaknesses that, you know, Myles Garrett really didn't have much in the way of weaknesses. It was maybe he doesn't love football. Maybe he retires early. Like, that's all we could find at that time. So I think fans are like, well, if we get Abdul Carter, that's our next Miles Garrett. It's like, he's not in that stratosphere, guys.
He's a really good football player, and he might be.
And there are questions about his body and what kind of a pass rusher, you know, he truly will be. That doesn't mean he's... He might be really good.
Rarely do we see this type of play, and it was him going... It was him sliding right down the line, getting off all these different defenders and there are all these offensive players and making a play on a run. And so many people told me that it was JOK, and I go, okay, well, then they weren't taking JOK in the first round. Now, I understand that there were extenuating circumstances, but the Browns still weren't doing that.
But I think there are some Browns fans that think that, like, Abdul Carter is a sure thing, like a Miles Garrett,
They want somebody who's so good.
I don't think he's a
They
sure
want
thing.
To talk themselves into not taking a quarterback because we don't trust who's taking the quarterback. So it's just like him. I told you yesterday, Jack Sawyer got past the 50, and I don't watch the game like you, so you were watching the game going nuts with your buddies, and God bless you for doing it. But he crossed the 50, and hand to God, I go, they're going to want to take him second overall. Because we'll talk ourselves into anybody that's not a quarterback because we're afraid. We're afraid. We're either afraid of the QB, we're afraid of the people coaching the QB. And what's that say to you guys, man? I mean, if Kevin Stefanski can only work with one quarterback and that's it, then, guys, we're just on borrowed time here. The Joe Flaccos are a dying breed in the NFL. They're going extinct. We are going to see way more Cam Ward, Shedeur Sanders type of quarterbacks than any Joe Flacco ever. It's just how they're taught. Well, we need a guy who can go under center. How many guys do you see under center? There are guys who go to the NFL draft. They've never taken a snap under center. Never. They have to, in kneel down situations, they have to go from the gun, which is ridiculous, which is patently ridiculous, but they still do it. So if I can't trust the two-time coach of the year, if I can't trust the two-time coach of the year to coach up one of these two quarterbacks, what the hell are we doing? What are we doing? It's insane.
But I'm not thinking
this
about
is
that.
Insane.
Like I think Stefanski can coach
then
a quarterback
take
up.
A quarterback.
Yeah,
I'm yelling at you. You want to take a quarterback?
No,
so I'm sorry.
I'm not.
I'm yelling at you.
I'm not at this stage on January 13th. I'm not 100% all in. Got to take quarterback no matter what. Like the work has to still be done.
If the two-time coach of the year is the two-time coach of the year, then you take a quarterback because he's supposed to coach a quarterback. If Kirk Cousins with his old ass can take care of it, then why can't he do it with a brand new guy? Why can't he do it with a brand new guy? It's almost become our symphony, two-time coach of the year here in our media. Okay, be the two-time coach of the year and coach these kids up.
Now, some people get mad if you reference two-time coach of the year.
One of the two.
As if he didn't win them.
I'm just using it again. In this case, I'm using it against him in the argument. If you're the two-time coach of the year and you're still here, I can't deal with apathy as a fan, and I don't want to deal with apathy with the other fans out there. I don't want to go through a season where people just don't care like they went through the most of this season. Nah, no. Life's too precious. Time's too precious. Browns fandom is too precious. Take a quarterback. And if you don't have trust in the guys, then they're the wrong guys. Take them. Done.
So as of today.
216-474-0092. I'm taking a QB. I'm going to charge the coaching staff with doing their job as coaches.
I love that you're going to be on record on January 13th. So you would say the worst of all of these choices is a trade down, right?
Yeah. The worst?
Of all three of these.
I suppose so.
So that's interesting because I think most fans think today they're probably going to trade down.
Just bring in the kid. Bring in Shedeur. He stands in the pocket. Sometimes he holds on to the ball too long. Maybe I'm a little bit worried about his frame. Whatever. You're the coach. You're the two-time coach. Coach him up. Bring in the kid. Bring in Shedeur Sanders. Oh, you freak with a circus. Is that circus any worse than the circus we've been watching here over the last few years? I'll take that circus any day over what we've seen the last few years. Shedeur Sanders, number 2 overall. I'm getting pounded by the draft back people, the trade back people in the draft. You've lost your mind. You're letting your emotions get the best of you. No, guys, for the first time in quite a while, maybe I'm seeing it clearly. You've kept these guys in their positions, okay? Then go ahead and do it. And I got Pete Smith, a guy I love. I love Pete. Mark it down. Good guy. QB coach, a whole deal. He's a QB coach in my high school program. I want success for him. You can't just take these guys. What if they turn into Zach Wilson? I don't care. Ain't my job. figure out one of them and go. I got Myles Garrett for only so much longer. I mean, we may be, maybe Joel Bitonio's body will say he can come and play again. I only got these guys for so very much longer. I mean, every year, do you not see every year now as a gift with Denzel Ward? He had his best season ever already, and I mean, he's still like, oh, we don't know if we're going to have him next year because all the injuries and stuff like that. We're nervous. Oh, we love Denzel Ward. We love Myles Garrett. I'm No. I'm not wasting my time and talking myself into Kirk Cousins or all these other guys. If you got the coach of the year, then damn it, the coach of the year should go out there and coach him up. Go be a coach. Figure it out with your team. That's what Jim Tressel did. Tressel ball, this and that. All you got to do is offset eye. That's all you're going to do. Well, what about when he had Troy Smith? What about when he had Ted Ginn? Spread him out. He coached to the talent that he had. That's just one example. Use your talent. If you're a spread them out team, then damn it, be spread it out. I don't care. I'm tired of talking myself out of this. I'm tired of saying these terrible things to myself, being scared. Done. Trade down. Okay, trade down, and then we'll let some... Because most people, I think, just want to trade down because they want somebody they then trust to go ahead and make the pick. Aren't you guys tired of waiting around to be competitive?
Yeah, but they don't...
We're going to go through another year?
Well, that doesn't make any sense, though. It's still the same GM, whether you trade down or not.
No. I believe that most people want them to trade down, not because they dislike the quarterbacks or something like that. I think they just don't trust the front office and the coach of the Cleveland Browns. And so their thought is, just like what Daryl was saying.
So let all the other teams and their GMs get ahead of us to take players? I don't understand
apparently.
That.
Apparently. And then we'll go out there and we'll have a lame duck 2025. And then we will lose Miles. By then we'll talk ourselves into it. We will lose Miles and we will lose Denzel. And we'll lose all these guys. And then, but we are going to get rid of the quarterback. We're going to get rid of the head coach. We'll get rid of the general manager. And DiBenedetto, I don't think it's going anywhere. I'm sorry. I've told you Rasputin many times and that's where it is. So. They'll get rid of those two guys. We'll bring in new guys. Just because they're new, we'll trust them more. And then we can maybe get a quarterback then. We always talk ourselves out of it. If you don't get it, okay. So Pete brought up Daniel Jones. Hey, I didn't give him the extension. I didn't say that 15 touchdowns and 5 picks was a good thing. The Giants did. That's the Giants' fault, not me. Fine. Let the coaches... who are supposed to be good coaches,
I don't understand. What does Daniel Jones have to do with it?
They're using examples of taking quarterbacks just to take quarterbacks. And I'm not taking a quarterback just to take a quarterback. Go ahead and coach him up.
Yes, teams take quarterbacks when they need quarterbacks. That's not controversial that teams that feel like they're completely stuck and are up in a draft decide to draft a quarterback. Obviously, there were things they liked about Daniel Jones. They missed. That does happen, yes.
One more thing. I'm going to get the phones here. One more thing. I keep hearing Jackson Dart all over my timeline. People are calling in over Jackson Dart. If you want Jackson Dart, who would be a day two or day three guy, do you trust Kevin Stefanski? You're probably going to say no. So if you want Jackson Dart, why would you want to throw an upside guy to the Wolves? Like, he ain't going to get the coaching. So a new general manager is going to come in and just think that this guy sucks anyway, and that's going to be the end of that. So why waste that choice?
Well, I'm getting increasingly annoyed with their job. You don't trust the coach. You don't trust the GM. So don't do anything. We got a football team. Okay? They are keeping these guys. They are keeping the front office. They are keeping the head coach. Changing the OC, whatever. But we know who's going to be calling the plays, Stefanski. What's the point of just sitting here and saying, well, I don't trust these guys to do it, so don't do anything? Don't make no offseason move?
That's apparently what a lot of us are...
Pass on all the draft
picks? That's what Daryl said to us.
Like, explain to me. Somebody's got to explain to me.
That's what Daryl said to us.
Then I guess, why be a fan? We've rooted for teams that have been way worse than this.
Because it's tradition.
We've been 0-16 and 1-15. So if you're just done being a Browns fan, then I get it, but you wouldn't be calling us or telling us that you don't trust the guys if that was the case. You would just be done with the team.
Zach in Cleveland, you're next up on the Fan. Hello, Zach.
Hey, guys. We're a hard blue-collar, you know, working city, right? I mean, if we're going quarterback, you know, we know the Shador story. We know he's been handed everything because of his dad's name. You know, that could...
I mean, that's not true at all.
No, let's be honest. The whole reason why he went to Colorado was because his dad went to Colorado, correct?
Okay, but it wasn't
you
like
realize,
defenses.
Wait a second. You realize Dion wanted a good quarterback Colorado. He didn't want to have a terrible quarterback.
I understand that. I understand that.
If he couldn't play, he wouldn't be there.
I'll tell you this, Zach. If Deion Sanders Jr. would have been playing at Colorado, then I might have agreed with you.
No, I think we just have to look at it like this. It's a nepo baby sort of situation, kind of the same thing with Bronny. Not on the same ilk, obviously, because that's LeBron James versus Deion Sanders. That's not the comparison I'm trying to make. What I'm trying to say is that we've had a guy who's just been handed everything here his whole life. We had Johnny Manziel. Look how that turned out.
I mean, I totally disagree with the premise. I got to say, I totally disagree with the premise here. Shador improved dramatically. He has put the work in.
I thought both quarterbacks have improved.
That guy has worked his ass off.
I thought both quarterbacks have improved and elevated the programs they played for.
Improved. That's not my point. My point is that if his last name was not Sanders, we wouldn't be talking about it. That's what I'm saying. That's the point. And the other side of my point, the reason why I'm even arguing about it is it's not that I don't like Shador. He's got a good game. Kid plays a good game. I've watched games this year. I watched games last year. I've watched Cam Ward also this year. And Cam Ward, and I know his story. I don't know if you guys know the story of where he's come from. And he's worked hard to get to where he's at now. He wasn't handed everything. So that's the route I think we got to go. I mean, they're both similar play styles. They're friends. They worked out together in the offseason. They play similar. And like you said earlier, Kenny, that unfortunately, that's the way that the league's going. We don't want to go with somebody that's, you know, standing in the pocket.
Yeah, these guys that we're quote-unquote comfortable with, they don't make – and thank you for the call, Zach. They don't make these guys anymore.
So is he going to be against taking Arch Manning next year if we're sitting there at number one because of the last name? I don't understand.
I didn't think about that. That's a good point. Arch Manning is good, but Shador Sanders has been good too.
I don't think you – okay – yes, the son of...
Man, I wish Zach stole the phone for that. That was a good
line.
There's
going to be a bunch of NBA kids, NBA sons coming up because they're really good. And yes, they were given every...
All right.
You see it in baseball. How many baseball players have had the best available coaching their whole life? And what do you know? They're in the big leagues. This player junior. Doesn't mean they've been gifted anything, though. They've worked their ass off to get there. If he wasn't good, we wouldn't be talking about Shador Sanders as the number one quarterback off the board, potentially, or number two quarterback off the board.
216-474-0092.